Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and once again it is my pleasure to welcome you to Just a Minute. We have three of our regular players, Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, and we welcome back a guest who showed great skill with the help of the chairman when she played it some weeks ago. That is Wendy Richard. Would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I will ask our panelists to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card which is in front of me. And let us begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo. Atlas, will you talk on that starting now?
Atlas was one of the Titans who was banished after the war between those particular chaps by Zeus to the Atlas Mountains, and he was there destined to hold up heaven forever, which is exactly what he's done thereafter. Mercator, publishing his father's book of the maps of the world, decided to put onto the cover, this was of course in the 16th century, a picture of Atlas lifting the globe high. And that is why, ever since, I think it's a rather interesting fact that all books that contain cartography are called, in fact, atlases, named after the title.
Clement Freud's challenge.
Deviation. I didn't think that was a very interesting fact.
Why are you clapping? You may not have thought it was very interesting, but some people did, and whether it's interesting or not, he was still keeping going on the subject of Atlas in Just a Minute. So an incorrect challenge, Derek, for which you gain a point and you keep the subject, and there are 17 seconds left starting now.
Geography and the atlases which I was given at school was a subject which particularly intrigued me, and then I learned from the atlas the countries of the world, which has been of tremendous use to me in my afterlife because I followed the...
Clement Freud has challenged with 1 second to go. Clement.
I think he's premature talking about his afterlife.
So if this is
his afterlife, what are we doing here?
I think we ought to keep him company, yes. We all want a bit of company, don't we?
Yes, I did have a dream once that I was still playing Just a Minute in my afterlife, and it was a very celestial edition of the show. Clement, you have a correct challenge, and you have 50 seconds, sorry, you have a fifth of a second left for Atlas starting now. Clement Freud opened his mouth. Ian Messiter hesitated on blowing the whistle because he was more than a fifth of a second. And the end of that round, of course, Clement Freud is the only one to have any points because he also gained the extra one for speaking as the whistle went. Clement, the subject is bowls, and we'd like you to take this round starting now.
Bowls is an awfully good game which you play on a bowling green if you're of that bent, and some bowl pitches, because one mustn't use the same word again, are crowns.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Hesitation. Bowl.
Oh, I think you're being too sharp there. No, I disagree with that. No, Clement, you can keep going with bowls with 47 seconds left starting now.
When you play cricket, you either bowl or bat or field or sometimes all three, although it is fairly rare to get a wicketkeeper who does more than one of those pastimes in Hong Kong.
Wendy Richard has challenged.
Isn't that... that's deviation.
Yes, he's now talking about wicketkeepers and cricket.
And bowling and not bowling.
No, bowling would have been all right. Don't go on about that. No, he was talking about, the other people on the field of cricket. So he's really on about cricket now and not bowls or bowling. Wendy, 37 seconds. Bowls starting now.
I have never played bowls myself, although I have enjoyed a game of pétanque, or boule, as the French refer to it. This is a fascinating pastime. You have little tiny silver balls, and...
Clement Freud is challenged.
That's disgusting. And untrue.
It may be disgusting, but actually...
It's quite untrue.
You can have them any colour if you play Pétain.
Well, they're not little tiny if they're silver, and if it's the cochonnet, it is silver.
I was about to refer to the indoor version of that game where you do have little ones. If you'd have let me continue.
Wendy, you can keep the subject, having gained another point, and 23 seconds on bowls starting now.
When playing the indoor version, one uses a smaller sphere of this light-coloured metal, but with the outdoor...
There ain't no challenge.
Well, to help,
it is difficult, isn't it, Wendy? Right, so Derek got a correct challenge, and he has bowls now with 10 seconds left, starting now.
Some wonderful bowls were discovered in the Nanking cargo. Particularly, I like some of the Sheraton ones, and indeed, there were some marvellous underglazed blue and white Ming bowls.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition marvellous.
Yes, you did say marvellous twice, I'm afraid, Derek. So Clement's got him with 1 second to go on bowls, starting now.
It is an Olympic event.
Clement Freud got that extra point for speaking as the whistle went. Kenneth has yet to score, but he does begin the next round. Kenneth, Bob's your uncle. Would you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Bob's your uncle is an English expression meaning everything's all right, or the change is correct at the shop. And people say, Bob's your uncle, and off you go. It derives from the repeal of Robert Peel's administration, because it's alleged that he gave jobs to all his chums. So they said, Bob's your uncle. But actually, my uncle was Bob, and I used to go out on my bicycle to visit him at Raynham, which was quite near to Dagenham, which was the place where he worked on automobile manufacturing. Now, I say, oh, Bob, must be as exciting when you put all those carburetors and mudguards and headlamps on, and he used to...
Wendy, you've challenged.
I think you're going on at deviation.
She's gone on to buy automobiles and motor cars and mudguards and things. He's off. Bob's your uncle. So, Wendy, you've got him with a correct challenge on 4.5 seconds, starting now. Bob's your uncle.
I used to have an Uncle Bob, and he was a bus inspector up north. And one day...
So, Wendy Richard got in and spoke as the whistle went, and has got another point, and she's now one behind our leader, Clement Freud, ahead of Derek Nimmo and Kenneth Williams. And, Wendy, your turn to begin the subject, kites. Will you tell us something about that delightful subject, starting now?
Kites are wonderful things. The Chinese make the most beautiful kites. They take for the subject of these kites various birds. They do kite birds, that's K-Y-T-E, or eagles or swallows, are painted the most beautiful colours. And there is nothing more pleasing to the eye than to stand on a windy hill one day and watch these kites skating through the clouds as the wind passes over the hills to and fro.
Danny Nimmo challenged.
Well, we did go to and fro twice.
The audience were enjoying it because Wendy was actually acting everything out. I must explain that to our listeners. And we really were carried away. She was on the top of that hill and with her kites. But, Derek, you had a correct challenge, and there are 30 seconds left on kites, starting now.
If defendant in the...
And Clement Freud.
I mean, you started off going, it's unbelievable. I mean, an old hand like you falling into that. Well, you're acting now. You're acting now.
Yes, I've been playing the game for 21 years. He still starts off, Right. Clement, I know your challenge, and you are correct. You have kites with 28 seconds left, starting now.
I always remember George Cole as a man who was very keen on kites in a film, I think, called Quartet by Somerset Maugham, and he would leave his wife simply in order to go out onto the hills into the country and fly his kite and get away from the pressures and all the other tensions which he had. I have seen the same actor playing in all sorts of television
Derek Nimmo chant.
He's talking about the career of George Coe.
Yes,
abandoned kites.
You're right, he deviated from kites onto the career of George Cole, and so we now have a... You have a correct challenge with 5 seconds on kites, Derek, starting now.
Spitfires, hurricanes were some of the kites, which was the kind of slang word used by the RAF.
Wendy Richard challenged.
Oh, I'm thinking, I thought it should have been were, and he said was. It was going to be a grammatical one.
So what is your challenge?
His grammar.
His grammar.
That.
So he got his grammar all wrong, did he?
The deviation of the King's English.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, deviation of the Queen's English.
The Queen's English, yes,
yes.
I'm glad you corrected him. The, I don't think he actually did deviate, so
right,
I'll let him get away with it with half a second on kites, starting now.
A junior count was for the kites.
At the end of that round, Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud are equal in the lead ahead of Wendy Richard, who is followed by Kenneth Williams. And Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, nannies. Will you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
My wife once advertised in the Times for a nanny to look after children aged 6 months, 11, 12 and 35. To me, she got a number of replies, and they came and were auditioned by her, and she chose a vast, gross creature who was singularly unattractive because she claimed she was a good needlewoman, which seemed to me to be rather unimportant. Now, nannies are creatures which are very good if you have children. They evolved, really, out of the wet nurse.
Wendy Richard, chance.
Did you say children twice?
Yes, I did, yes. Absolutely. You're well, well.
So, Wendy, you have a correct challenge, yes, of repetition, and there are 22 seconds for you to talk on nannies, starting now.
When I was little, I was brought up by a nanny. Well, several nannies, in fact.
Tamara Freud challenged.
I thought she hesitated a
bit. I know she did, but she's
and
a
I
guest, and she's only played it once before, so I'm going to let her get away with it.
It was because I wanted to talk about a nanny.
Oh, well, maybe you'll get another chance. Sir, there are 17 seconds on nannies starting now. Clement. You have got a chance to talk on it.
I'd like to talk about it.
15 seconds for you, Clement, on nannies, starting now.
I had a nanny who said that the Queen thinks the whole world smells of fresh paint.
Wendy Richard challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, hesitation, yes. I don't know what happened to his voice, but it
went.
It went. 10 seconds. Back with you, Wendy, on nannies, starting now.
This nanny I have...
Hesitation.
We haven't heard from you on nannies yet, so
no.
I think it would be a fair thing to
yes,
give us a hesitation.
Very, very bad case of hesitation there.
So 9 seconds for you, Derek,
yes.
Kenneth, on nannies, starting now.
The nanny goat has teats. And what you do is you rub them, and that produces the milk by which you can make the most wonderful goat.
Well, I'm glad we heard from all of them on that subject of nannies, because they also contributed so much. And, of course, Kenneth topped it all with the nanny goat. Because if you were listening a few weeks ago, you may remember, if not, I will inform you, that actually Kenneth finished the show talking about milking a goat. And that's what he was actually referring back to, and that's what made us all laugh so much. And by the way, at the end of that round, Kenneth was speaking as the whistle went. He gained that all-important extra point, and he's still in fourth place. Clement, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is fast food. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Fast food is a name given to any sort of food which can be produced at speed. And it's got nothing to do with not having to wait for it, because invariably the hamburger and cheeseburger takes half an hour or longer. But it's still called fast food. Goat's cheese would be a particularly popular dish, because all you have to do is cut the bulk and serve it in portions at celerity, especially if no one has to wait at all. Fast orders in the United States are called short, of the same ilk. And people with funny hats and clean hands and tomato ketchup serve it. And this is part of the fast food syndrome about Coca-Cola's, fizzy drinks, tea and coffee and other beverages would all come under the classification of fast food quite often.
Well, Clement, the round of applause you received at the end for keeping going, not only for a whole minute, but shows that they appreciate your erudition and the way you handle the English language in just a minute. And you have got 2 points in that round, one for not being interrupted and one for speaking as the whistle went. And you are in the lead, just ahead of Wendy. Richard, Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject, gobbledygook. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Once on this very programme, we had a past master at the art of gobbledygook, former Professor Unwin, and he said to us, rise in the early morn with your waking thoughts of clarity in the Milo Tribune. Very quickly, the ancient creatures, Marcus, whether wax or Ulysses, stop in the eardrome in order to pass the siren sage. I said at the time, wonderful, but how should we say hello? And he cried out, goodly byload, which I thought was quite delightful. He described a luxury block of flats as luxury flabber block with dangly chandelier, Harry the Acres, and Catherine of Arabold. And while I knew that Catherine of Aragon did once occupy the position of consort, I'd never heard her called Arabold, which I thought was quite delightful. And I wanted very much for him to return.
This is indeed a treasured edition of Just a Minute. Clement showed his style and abilities. He went with great interest on fast food. And now Kenneth took the subject of gobbledygook and with great panache and style kept going for 60 seconds without being interrupted. A point for doing so, a point for speaking as a whistle. I don't know why they laugh then. He must be doing something filthy, actually, but I'm afraid he's still in fourth place, but what value he contributes. Wendy, can you keep up the good work? Oh, that is the subject, actually. Work. That is the subject which you can take in just a minute, starting now.
Work is a four-letter word which most people shy away from. Unfortunately, I, like a lot of others, have to work extremely hard every week. We enjoy our work, as I'm sure most of you all do, as I can see Clement. Yes. And Kenneth does, and yeah. Nicholas, and Ian, and...
Yeah,
there he is. In
Wendy,
fact, most...
You were challenged, actually.
Was I? Mm. I never heard.
Clement challenged you after about 5 seconds, I think.
What very was... much. I never heard.
What was the challenge, Clement?
Well, you name it.
Oh, that's wicked. But it was, I know you pressed your buzzer when she'd hesitated for a very long time and got the giggles. But it's lovely having you, because we love you the way you giggle, actually.
Thank
Wendy,
you.
It's delightful. Clement, we give you 45 seconds to continue, or no, so to take over the subject of work, starting now.
Work is an ethic, and as Wendy so very properly said, it is also a four-letter word, and I can say it again because she said it before. 9 to 6 is the normal sort of time, although 12 to 1:30 lunch hour and a tea break are not uncommon in industrial usage at the moment. Kenneth Rain...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed. And Derek, you take work the subject over with 22 seconds left, starting now.
Oscar Wilde said that work is the curse of the drinking classes. And I think he was absolutely right. It does interfere with one's enjoyment of life. To have to go out early in the morning to rehearse or whatever one might be doing, to dig roads, build motor cars or to milk goats is one of the things that I find to be unpleasant about the life in the city.
All very close. Kenneth Williams is trailing a little in fourth place, but Wendy is in second place, one behind Derek Nimmo, who's only two behind Clement Freud. And Derek, it is your turn to begin. The subject is practical jokes. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I have always been a great practical joker. It is tremendous fun to hand somebody a piece of string at one side of a corner, ask them to hold it, and then disappear around into the next street and ask somebody to seize the same piece of...
Clement Freud, a challenge.
Repetition, unless somebody's were different people.
I beg your pardon?
He said somebody twice.
Two somebodies. So, Clement, you have practical jokes, and there are 41 seconds left, starting now.
My favourite practical joke was when a man went to a police station and said there are some Oxford undergraduates digging up the road, and then went to navvies in a nearby street and said the constabulary are coming to beat you up, and they are only pretending to be members of that particular organization, and stood by to watch the most amazing fight. This is the sort of practical joke which I think is hilarious and does great harm to the orderliness of the life in which we live. But practical jokes can be as simple as that described by Derek Miller.
Well, Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went, got an extra point and has increased his lead at the end of that round, and it is his turn to take the next round. Clement, the subject is neighbours. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Neighbours are people who live next door. If you happen to reside at number 28, 29 would be the house in which your neighbour lived. Similarly, 30 and 31. 46 and 48.
Kenneth Williams, the challenge.
Well, it's just a load of numbers. You're not even here about these neighbours at all. We don't know what they like, even. All we know is the numbers.
So your...
Deviation.
Deviation, because he got onto a load of numbers rather than neighbours. Yes, well, Kenneth, I think it's about time we heard from you with 44 seconds on neighbours, starting now.
When you've got friends and neighbours... The world is a wonderful place. Well, that was one of the numbers I first heard as a young and impressionable, callow youth. And I was in the army, and we were doing a show for the troops, do you see? And this girl came on and belted out about neighbours, and the troops all rose.
Wendy, Richard, you challenged. What was your challenge?
He said, Kenneth said troops twice.
Did he?
Yes.
I'm afraid he did, yes. 14 seconds for you, Wendy, on Neighbours, starting now.
Neighbours is yet another soap that we inflicted with on TV. I personally have had to sit through this programme and I cannot understand its popularity. I don't mean to say it's any better than ours, but some of the performances in it are...
I just would like to remind those who were not with us when we recorded a last show with Wendy Richard that she had the subject of soap in that particular recording, and that's what she was referring to when she started off then. Anyway, Wendy kept going until the whistle went, gained that extra point, and she's now in second place ahead of Derek Nimmer. Clement Freud is still our leader, Kenneth is trailing, and it's his turn to begin. The subject, Kenneth, is education. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
A very interesting story arises from the word education and was told to the newspapers by the Archbishop's wife, Mrs. Runcie. She said she'd visited a school and see the children make the crib, showing the nativity. And she asked the little lad what it had meant to him. And he said, well, I blame Joseph. He should have booked. Because after all, we're told the 3 R's are absolutely essential. And for my part, I sat there at school. I never really took anything in. I only enjoyed the poetry when the bits about Rupert Brooke were told me by the master. I quite enjoyed that. The Roman road to Wendy.
Enjoy twice.
What's
repetition.
Repetition of enjoyed.
Repetition of enjoyed.
Mm. Well, listen, she's got good ears.
Yeah, she's got good ears. You did enjoy it before, yes. You've enjoyed your education. So there are 8 seconds for you, Wendy, on education starting now.
Education.
Kenneth Williams.
Hesitation, I'm afraid.
Yeah. As you played the game before now, Wendy, it was a bit harsh, but he is trailing
right.
a bit. So he
as
has.
Is Kenneth,
as
I don't
is Kenneth,
mind.
And he's trailing. There are 7 seconds for you, Kenneth, on education, starting now.
The boy was asked, what is the capital of Tobago? And he said, I should think about Fort Saint Anthony. And then, I think, there's another interesting argument for
so, Kenneth got a number of points on education, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and he's still in fourth place. It's a very close contest this week, anyway. Wendy, we're back with you to start. Wendy Richard, the subject is bed socks. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I think bed socks are one of the most marvellous inventions of any century. I personally have several pairs. My most favourite are in blue, and they're white soles.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Sorry, but
it was just, a bit harsh.
It was a bit
harsh.
It was a hesitation, really. Yes.
It was a hesitation, but she's only played the game
but
once.
All these
before.
People are dying to find out about my bed socks now.
Well, you tell them about your bed socks, Wendy, because that was a harsh challenge. 47 seconds left, starting now.
With little bells on the toes, and I got them made by this very nice firm up in Bath. I also have other bed socks in pink and white, and I think they're absolutely marvellous. You see, there is nothing worse than going to bed with cold feet, or even someone else who has very cold...
Derek Nimmo, yes. This time she couldn't find another word for cold. So, Derek, you got in with a correct challenge, and there are 31 seconds on bed socks starting now.
I'm just looking forward to the day that she can throw her away her bed socks and live with Paul, whose telephone number is 724. And he will come along and warm her feet, and bed socks will be something of the end of the past, even with bells on the end of them, because I think that might be distinctly inconvenient in their newfound marital bliss, which I hope the bed socks, when they've been discarded, will be replaced by. No, bed socks I have myself, and I use them when I'm going camping in Great Portland.
Those people who like to have all their facts clear, the Paul that Derek Nimmer was referring to was the love in Wendy's life at the present moment. We've reached the...
What do you mean at the present moment?
Yes, she said, forever, I hope, she said.
He is without doubt the love of her life at the present moment and has been for quite a while.
And the afterlife.
No, what Nicholas means is that there are changes in the body. It's what they call your metabolism. And one year you might fancy a sweet sherry, another year you might say, oh, a revolting drink. You know what I mean? And old people maintain that this is the basis for the argument apropos divorce.
Yeah. And I apologise if an inadvertent remark of mine has dragged Wendy's love life through the traumas of the public exhibition. But I do assure you he's a lovely chap and so is Wendy. And once you put your foot in it, I always believe in putting the other one in as well. So let me give you the final score at the end of this particular round, if people can wipe the tears away from their eyes. Believe it or not, our guest, who's only played the game once before, came to triumph with Paul supporting her in the audience to be in second place, but only 1 point behind our winner this week, Clement Freud. I do hope all our listeners have enjoyed the fun as well as the erudition that we try to give you in just a minute. On behalf of my 4 magnificent panellists and Ian Messiter, who thought of and devised the game, and our producer, Edward Taylor, who does such a magnificent job, unseen and unheard until after the show is over, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, from all of us here, goodbye.